Are you kind to your partner, or do you speak to them with way more nastiness than you would the clerk at a 7-Eleven convenience store? If, like a lot of couples, you do not speak as kindly to your mate as they deserve, and you're better than that, frankly, welcome to today's episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants, where I'm talking about three ways to be kinder to your sweetheart in 2024. Yes, we're deeply into this series of three tips each week of various ways to improve your relationship and your sensuality in the year to come and for the rest of your life. And today, I want to get really real about something that I am guilty of, and I suspect quite a few of you might be guilty of, which is not speaking very kindly to our partner some of the time. Tell you what, here's an experiment. Probably at some point this week, you'll have to be out in the retail world getting groceries or buying clothes or something. And when you're out there, a big grocery store or a big mall is a good place to do this experiment. Look at couples, people who fairly clearly seem to be in a romantic relationship, married, young, old, in between, whatever, and eavesdrop on how they talk to each other. Eavesdrop on how parents talk to their kids and kids talk to their parents. And not surprisingly, you can figure this out without doing my mini experiment. It is pretty astounding and disheartening how rudely, how curtly, how disrespectfully, how sarcastically we often talk to our partner and our immediate family. Now, some of you listening are not guilty of this, and I truly applaud you. Keep up the great verbal love work. Because a lot of the rest of us, and I'm putting myself firmly in that category, it's nothing I'm proud of. It's something I work on a lot. It's a bad habit and a tendency for me to have at times a critical voice, a really unkind or sarcastic tone of voice, and to say things that are just not helpful or kind to the person I love most in the world, which is my sweetheart. So join the club. No judgment here, but instead a call to action, a rallying call. I'm thinking of Mel Gibson's in that movie where he's got his face painted, the Scottish movie, you know, the one who's like, and he comes roaring down. Let's make a victory call. I will be better to my partner in 2024. All right. So a little bit of background here. We tend to talk a fair bit to our partner and at our partner. And of course, they may or may not give as many words back as we give to them. Depends on your dynamic and your two personal styles. But here's your first experiment. Your first tip is speak to your partner at least as respectfully or kindly or patiently as you would the clerk at a convenience store or anywhere else. But let's say you go into a convenience store, you forgot milk and dog food, and there's a little convenience store, a 7-Eleven or a whatever on your way home. Mom and pop store, support your little ones. Anyway, you go in there and you're tired, you're frazzled, you're irritable. It's been a tough day. You've got a bit of a headache and you're late and there's no plans for dinner and you're not sure if your partner will have started dinner because they're not always that reliable about it. And you go into the store and there's a harassed and beleaguered looking person behind the counter and you're thinking, this is not the funnest job. Looks like they've had a tough day too. You grab your milk. You grab your dog food. You have to stand in line behind a few people. You're tapping your foot. You're pretty irritable. But you get up there and the clerk says, hi, how can I help you? You say, oh, just these things, please. Chances are, most of the time, you're polite to them. Chances are, most of the time, you're respectful. You use a decent tone of voice, even though internally, you're starting to anticipate what I'm teaching now, aren't you? Even though internally, you're agitated or upset, anxious or stressed. You pull it together in terms of how you speak. You say, thanks a lot. Boy, it's been a long day. Hope you have a good night. And you grab your stuff. You go to your car. And then 11 minutes later, you walk in through your front door and your partner goes, hey, and you go, hey, I don't smell dinner. Well, no, you didn't ask me to make dinner. Well, couldn't you have figured it out? I'm late. I texted you today about that crappy meeting I had with my boss. Couldn't you have figured it out to make dinner? Oh, for God's sake, do I have to do everything around here? You have the capability at the convenience store in this thought experiment to speak kindly, even though you're tired, exhausted, and working up a big headache. But when you walk in the door, there is a reasonable chance you don't bring that same kind of courtesy and kindness to your most important person. Unfortunately, at least in North America, I presume outside North America, but I'll limit myself to where I have a bit more experience. We tend to talk pretty rudely a lot of the time. You know, think of 1980s, 1970s, even sitcoms. You know, I grew up I graduated high school in 81. So sort of mid, late 70s, there was, you know, goodness, The Facts of Life was a bit later, but there was really good shows. I'm trying to remember the one with Michael J. Fox. I'm picturing the whole cast. Anyway, that great show, Family Ties or whatever. There was these shows and the families were nice to each other. They spoke warmly to each other. They teased each other, but there wasn't a lot of sarcasm and insult. Then move forward to something like Married with Children or a lot of the sitcoms that are on in the last while where there's tons of sarcasm and put down. I'm not saying that's bad. It can be bloody funny. I'm not judging it as a negative thing overall, but I'm pointing my finger at a cultural shift where kind of being rude, sarcastic, insulting, nasty, impatient is more normalized, right? Well, that does not mean you have to take it on. A lot of things are more normalized in our culture just because they've become typical, like obesity and early stage diabetes and road rage. These things might be normalized. It doesn't mean you should go, oh, it's normal. It's okay. They're not okay. It's not okay to have your health being ruined because the rest of the culture says, you know, eat tons of sugar every day. What I mean is we have a choice, people. We have a choice in who we are and how we behave. We have a choice, as I've just demonstrated, around how we talk to someone, including the person we love most. So your first tip of three tips to be kinder to your mate in 2024, and everybody else for that matter, is to deliberately speak kindly, even when you feel frustrated, angry, annoyed, stressed, or distressed. Now, you're going to fail. That's okay. I fail too. This is not a, you know, be a perfect human all of a sudden, because I snapped my fingers. I wish that was possible, or I would always be kind to my beloved person. But what I'm giving you a challenge to do is to do better, to try harder, to bite your tongue, and to fake it till you make it, to speak kindly even when you don't feel like it. Here's another little example that we're all guilty of. Let's say, okay, maybe you don't answer your phone so much now because we're all into texting, but pretend you actually answer your phone when someone phones you. I know, a phone call, so old school. So imagine right now that you're in a bickering match or worse with your sweetheart. You're arguing about money or whatever one of your big issues is. And it's kind of heated and you're being kind of nasty. You're cutting them off like, no, I can't believe you bought that. We made a deal that we were going to be more responsible. I can't even trust you to do it. I don't even know what we're going to do. I guess you just expect me to pick up more shifts so I can cover that spurious expense you just made. Your phone rings during this. Okay, so let me mimic that. I mean, God, you just pissed me off so much. Ring, ring. Hello? Yeah, Cheryl, how you doing? Oh, that would be great, actually. I'd love to come to a barbecue. I'll see if we're free. I'll get back to you tomorrow. Thanks, bye. In a split second, you're able to change your vocal tone, your words, and your basic damn attitude for someone else when they phone you. So mic drop. I'm not going to drop my mic. It's kind of expensive. But mic drop. You have the capacity to stop being nasty at any second. Don't just do that because a stranger walks by or the phone rings or the parcel delivery person knocks on the door and you have to sign for it. You probably don't go out and tear them a new one, so to speak. So your first tip to be kinder is to realize you can be kinder. You can speak in a more kind and patient and fair way, even when you're super upset. So start doing that towards your sweetheart, not just towards a random or beloved person who gives you a phone call. Your second tip is do-over. This is one of my favorites, the do-over. I know you're hearing some of my own human failings, right? I need to use do-overs because as I've said in this episode so far, I struggle with kind speech myself when I'm stressed or frustrated or impatient or running behind or something like that. So a do-over is as easy as it sounds. Let me mimic one. Let's say my hubs and I have an appointment we need to get to. It's a hard end on the appointment. Let's say it's a 1 o'clock dental surgeon appointment we've been waiting for a long time and I'm driving him or he's driving me for some reason. We have to be there on time or we know we could lose our spot. And I'm ready to go. I've been ready to go for 10 minutes. Partner seems to be dawdling. You're looking at your watch. You're aware that it's a busy time of day in the school near you. So there might be more traffic and you're going to run late if you don't get the heck in the car right away. And you say, come on, hurry up. We're going to be late. Sorry. Here's a do-over. Sorry. I'm pretty stressed that we're going to be late for the appointment, babe. Can you please, let's leave right now, please. It's a do-over. You catch yourself after you've said it. I mean, the perfect option that I would love all of us to do all the time is we don't say the nasty, unkind, sarcastic, or impatient thing in the first place. But the next best thing is you say it and you immediately do a do-over. Let's say you're having an argument at home. I'll go back to the topic of money. It's a common one. And you're being sarcastic and nasty. Like, I guess you just expect me to take on more shifts and make more money. Because of course, I'm the money tree around here. And you hear it. You hear the sneer. You hear the contempt, which by the way, is one of the predictors of divorce. You hear the sarcasm. You hear it. I'll mimic it again. I might not get the words quite right because I'm improvising here. But I guess you expect me to work more, pick up more shifts to pay for your stupid thing you bought that we don't even need. Sorry. Let me try again. I'm really worried about money. I'm feeling a lot of resentment right now that it feels to me like you just buy things and you don't think, but the way I was just talking to you was super rude and I'm sorry. Those are do-overs. So the second tip to be kinder to your mate and all beings this year is to do a do-over when you do speak in a nasty, unkind, unskillful way. We can always, as I say to the couples in my program over and over again, we can always begin again. We can always begin again. That's the beauty of it, right? We get the chance to repair our mistakes, to do better, to be better. The third and final tip for how to be kinder in 2024, there's more tips than this. I spend about 5 weeks on communication, conflict resolution, repair, compromise, how to apologize better, how to forgive better in my program and when I work with couples. But today you're getting a great starter kit, I hope, of three things you can start working on right now. And again, if you're interested in that program, stay tuned. Doors will be opening in end of April this year, and I look forward to it. I'm just wrapping up my current group right now. In fact, their graduation call is tonight. Tonight, when I'm recording this podcast for you in the morning, I meet with them for their 10th live call with me where we wrap up our 3 months together. And it's very poignant. And I can guarantee I'll cry because I fall in love with all the couples I get the privilege to work with. The third tip is shut up. Yes, I said it. Shut up. What do I mean by that? One of the best ways to be kind to your partner is to just say nothing more often. And I am not saying here anything dysfunctional like don't express your actual needs or don't ask for what you want in a healthy way. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm talking about here is a little bit different than these last two. I'm not just meaning shut up when you're mad. That's kind of implied in those first two, or repair it if it comes out of your mouth with a redo. For this one, I'm going to take a bit of a different tack here. One of the ways a lot of us are not kind to our partner is we point out all the little things that we don't like around the house, about what our partner did or did not do, about things about them that they were not keen on right now. And I'll mimic some of those now. Oh, I see you forgot to vacuum. You said you were going to vacuum. Or I really wish you'd put your clothes away instead of leaving them on the chair in your room. It's not cool by me. Or you didn't walk the dog? I guess you were just too busy, huh? Okay, I'll do it. Or personal things like, you need to shave. Could you shave? You're looking a bit rough. You're looking a bit rough and ready. Or that shirt's really wrinkled. You should change it. Or I noticed that you're reading really late. Maybe you shouldn't. It's probably better you get more sleep. And you notice I'm mimicking a fairly neutral tone here, a fairly neutral way of saying this. I'm not doing it in a sarcastic or nasty or unkind way. But the simple grinding exhaustion of hearing these little corrections, these little criticisms, these little noticings of things you did or didn't do, or when you load the dishwasher, would you please put the forks in the other way around? Even that I mimic it neutrally and I say, please, it's not a bad thing. But how often do some of us, in a lot of relationships, there's one of us that has this tendency. In my relationship, unfortunately, it's me. My partner does this way less than me, where you point things out and you may not even mean in any way to be unkind or critical, but it's, do you really need to point out everything you notice? The answer is no. And the antidote is shut up. Say way fewer of the things you notice. Just don't. Don't be someone who's constantly saying, oh, there's a better way to do the dishwasher, or could you fold the blanket differently, or you left the light on, or you've got whiskers, you should shave, or that perfume seems really strong. Like just all these little things that don't always need to be said. So practice shutting up and not saying every dang thing that you notice. All right. Well, that brings us to today's love bite. As the Dalai Lama says, be kind whenever possible. And it's always possible. Thanks so much for joining me. Let me know how these tips land for you. And if they're working or not working in your relationship, you can always send me a question or a comment at hello@drcherylfraser.com. We read all of them. And you can also send your requests and suggestions for topics you'd like to hear on sex, love, and elephants. For now, I will be with you next time. Have a beautiful, kind day. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Sex, Love, and Elephants. But most of all, thank you for being part of this herd. If you enjoyed listening, please share this with a friend. And if you haven't already, I would love, love, love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review the show on your podcast player, because it really helps all the other elephants find us. If you have any questions or comments or maybe an idea for the show or you'd like to be a guest, reach out to me directly at drcherylfraser.com, where you can also sign up for weekly Love Bites, science-based tips for creating love and passion that last a lifetime.